You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Daisy. We interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firm. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Antron Legal's 2024 Law Firm Summer Reboot Camp. Today, we're coming to you with the Managing Partners Podcast. So my name's Kevin. I host a podcast called the Managing Partners Podcast. We've had over 300 managing partners on the show, including my guests today. And today we'll be talking about intake and onboarding and client experience, something very important for all companies, but especially for law firms to get a handle on. And so Jennifer Gore is with me today, and she's got a lot of experience in this. I feel like I have decent experience in this. And so we're just going to riff today and talk about it. So Jennifer.
Thanks for having me on here. One of our favorite topics, intake and onboarding. I feel like no matter how good your firm is, it's like an area that needs constant attention, auditing. It's a job that's never done.
Always improving, right? And I want you, of course, a shout out to Antron Legal for hosting us on their platform today. And anyone that's listening, tuning in, if you have questions, please ask. We're ready to answer them and get into the weeds with you on that. So please answer or ask any questions you might have. So what would you like to start with first? I mean, I know, again, for the lawyers listening, I can add my own thoughts as a marketing company. We do digital marketing, SEO, and content for law firms around the country. So intake and onboarding is super important for what we do here. But yeah, what would you like to see, you know, kick off first, and you know, what do you see out there?
Well, I feel like a lot of law firms, when their leads are down, their first instinct is, I need to do more marketing. And, you know, you kind of see the inside scoop of what's going on from what you do. I'm sure you get people saying, I need more leads. I need to do more marketing, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when you dig in, a lot of times in my own firm, that's not the first thing you want to tackle.
Literally, this just happens all the time to me. I'll have a firm reach out and they're interested in whatever, you know, advertising, or they don't really know what they want. But they usually want more leads. That's the problem. And it's usually deeper than that. And just more leads can't solve your problem if everything else is broken. And so I'll have sometimes where, you know, Laura will be like, hey, we want to work together. And I call, try to talk to them. They don't come up to a meeting. They don't show up. They don't get anybody on the phone. I mean, I have one gentleman who has three offices. I called all three offices, never got anybody in the middle of the day, three different days. And I emailed him and said, hey, man, like, this is what I, you know, reported back to him. And he was like, oh, wow, that's surprising.
Isn't this a statistic, though, that like most law firms historically have, you know, struggled with answering the phone timely? There's some law firms that send people to answering, you know, voicemails and all this. And I would imagine, you know, as a partner trying to help somebody grow their firm, it's got to be frustrating to you to know, okay, I'm dealing with somebody who is really not, no matter how many leads I bring them, you know, they're not going to be able to capitalize on that.
Yeah, well, it's honestly, it's a threat to us if we sign a law firm and don't look into those things, then we're setting ourselves up for a potential failure. And they're going to be unhappy with.
They're going to be blaming you, Kevin.
Exactly. So we don't want to do that. Like, I had a law firm actually in Georgia the other day that they really want to work with us, but they have a lot of things that they need to work on. It would not be a good fit for us. It was like a good, hey, we're not a great fit. And just too many other things and that need to be done before they hire us to like do all this marketing. And so, yeah, we just got to be careful because if we're talking about client experience. That's part of it. If I send them a bunch of leads from wherever we can and they're not getting answered or followed up with, then, you know, they're going to be unhappy.
Let's talk specifically about the specific issues because we're talking kind of broadly, like, okay, yeah, They're not good at intake. What does that really mean?
Let's get in the weeds. I'm done.
I mean, I could say I'd start off with the phone is not answered 24/7, 100% of the time. And I bet you some listeners on here are going to say, that's not possible, right? What is your thought about that? I mean, that's what we strive for.
Well, listen, when people, you know, personal injury or whatever it may be, criminal defense, people have a situation when it happens, right? You're not like, well, I'll get hurt in the middle of the day, or I'll get a DUI in the middle of the day. Like, you know, your situation happens when it happens and when you need help. So you got to be ready for someone 24 hours. Now, is someone going to call my marketing firm at 3 a.m? Maybe. I don't know. Not quite the same for me. Maybe. Yeah.
This is really regarding the type of business you're in. If you're doing criminal defense, if you're doing personal injury, if you're doing, we almost call it like triaging emergencies. For us, we have a duty to answer the phone 24/7 if we want to be really competitive. Your business, maybe not, but you can see, because you work in our industry, how it affects different law firms.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd prefer every law firm just to have that option and put that in place, right?
We achieve it with an answering service in certain times of the day, you know, overnights and weekends. And we also staff our intake team, you know, with our in-house people 7 days a week. So we might not have someone from our team on at 3 a.m. We might use the answering service then, but all day Saturday, all day Sunday, we have people on staff because, you know, you can heat map when your intake calls are coming in and you can see what your, when your volume of calls are. And it's just a competitive advantage because if like 50% of law firms don't have anyone answering on the weekends, you're going to rank higher on Google and everything else.
Yeah.
If you're open. And also, I just think like the average person, they might only have the weekends to handle their personal affairs, you know?
Yeah. I think it, again, goes outside of personal injury and criminal divorce. Maybe you have a late night question. You'd love to get a hold of someone to reach out, or estate planning. There could be, you know, all kinds of things that would come up that might be timely
it's
to them.
It's more urgent in personal injury and criminal only because it's a short sales cycle. Like estate planning, you might have a longer sales cycle. The data shows that people hire PI firms like within the first 14 days after the accident. Criminal firms, if you have a criminal matter, you're hiring someone pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And also the case gets more complex if people wait longer and longer to hire in our particular field. So I definitely think you should move as much as you can in baby steps, in whatever bridges you can build to get to the point where you're answering the phone 24/7 if you own a personal injury firm. It was really hard in the beginning when I had one intake person to try to cover those hours, which is why we went to incorporating a high level answering service, not just any one that's really trained to, like in our case, you know, an answering service, they are acting as the face of your firm. They really need to be high level. They need, you know, so I think we went through a variety of them, and there are great ones, and there are ones that really service clients and appear almost like they are your law firm.
Well, yeah. I mean, so one thing we just said on is, you know, 24 hours and just being available all the time, getting that done. But then you got how fast do you respond, you know, and then from there, it's how professional and how well handled is that, and how does it represent your business? I've had plenty of call centers where I hear, and it's just terrible, you know, and they don't represent your brand, and you're tons of people in the background. So, you know, I think, so now, yeah, you're answering the phone 24/7. Then, okay, what's our response time?
I also think, you know, I made the mistake of having the answering service only on the nights and weekends. And I later went back and had it as a backup to, like, I had one intake person at the time. So I just moved it to a backup. So it ran 24/7. Now it wasn't utilized a ton, but if someone's at lunch or they are on the other line, that's another way that your calls start going to voicemail.
I have a criminal defense client firm and they get 500 calls a day.
Mm-hmm.
I have 7 offices. And with they have a call service, not entering legal, by the way, but they're looking to find something better. But they have a call service 24/7, all that kind of stuff, but they still miss 30% of their calls.
Isn't that incredible?
30%.
So this is low-hanging fruit, guys. This is simple things to fix.
I think the first part is in having the phone being answered, and then you start working on how it's answered and how fast it's answered. And then, of course, we'll get talking more about what happens after that.
You made a great point where you mentioned, that how it's answered. I would say something we did really early on, which is a game changer, is we had a dedicated new client line, which all of our marketing campaigns run to. We have a main phone line for the law firm, which does get kicked over the answering service if the receptionist cannot answer it. But we have a dedicated new client line. And the dedicated new client line is really important because I don't think the receptionist is the best person to answer new leads.
At first impression.
Yeah, you want somebody who they are trained to sign and onboard clients. And it just, I do know firms where the receptionist answers and then they transfer it to the intake team. But I think you could achieve the same thing in a variety of other ways and eliminate that friction point. And I've seen receptionists answer the phone, with great cases and say things like, oh, I have to check and see if we do that. it's like, that is detrimental.
That's like, that really shows expertise right there.
I know. The receptionist is great for all the things they do in the law firm, but they may not be the number one person at legal sales. So we hit answering the phone, covering the phones 24/7, having the right person answering the phone. What about, the speed and like what you see in whether you're really handling that lead passively or proactively?
So, I know in my case I'm in a marketing company again, it's a little bit different. If I just respond, if I get a people, if they say I get a message or a form or a chat, not a call, calls are instant, pretty much instantly. And they don't, I have someone that does that. But if I get another message some other way, if I respond in 5-10 minutes, which I usually do, they're blown away. They're thinking, oh, I thought it'd be a day or two, So I got a little bit more time than a personal energy firm. Like you're saying, it's first one to connect with them and to start the process. They're probably going to go with you. So I think it's such a massive thing to be fast, to answer the phone right away, and then to be ready to take care of them and push them along through right away versus, well, can you call back later? Or we don't have anybody available to talk to you right now. So let's try to you're losing them right there.
I like to think about how much effort it takes for a client to decide to call a law firm. we're so desensitized, guys.
Yeah.
Think about, you have a legal matter. You're probably like, I don't want to call. I already don't have a good impression of lawyers, most people. I want to call. I'm at my frustration point. I'm in a place of, yes, I'm moving forward. And then they don't answer. Or they, put me, someone will call you back. It's like, it does take a lot for people to call a law firm.
I can add a lot to that because this is something I talk about all the time. And you mentioned, we were on the phone earlier, about, coaching a lawyer. I have 3 or 4 lawyers right now that haven't even started their law firms. They're not even a fit for us because we don't know if we can help someone like that. But I've talked to 3 times each, here's what you need to think about. I've started my own business and I went on my own, and I can, even though I'm not a lawyer, I'm adding, I'm just helping them. Hey, how are you going to get clients? When are you leaving? Do you have money status? and then talking about these kinds of things, marketing and a website, what are you going to do for all this stuff? But that's a huge thing because I look at clients' websites. I looked at one yesterday, no photos, no video of them, just SEO kind of text. That's just very rough to read. And it's, how are they going to connect with you and feel comfortable to reach out? They have to go through that process.
Yeah.
And what they see, let's just say it's a website or whatever, how are we making them feel comfortable to even get to the point? Because they're what if I get taken advantage of? They're going to bill me $500 an hour. maybe if I call, they'll charge me right there. So there's just, yeah, we don't want to just call lawyers for no reason, right? It's like we feel scared about
it. Yeah, and like nobody is really calling a law firm because something good usually happens.
No. Anxiety, you know, you don't want to call, you push it off. I can see that being a big problem, you know?
So you and me were talking a lot about, okay, onboarding, because that's another area where my firm has struggled in the past. I know your company has struggled in the past, because there is a really big focus, at least for a lot of us, on intake, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Get the call, sign them up, get them in, and then all the balls are dropped, right? And then
it's like, okay, now we have a client.
Yeah, I mean, I just onboarded a client this morning that just signed with us. I've been talking to him for like 3 months. You know, it's a long sales cycle for some of this stuff. And, you know, the team, when I onboard, we have Slack, and it notifies the whole team. It's like, oh, we have a new law firm. And it's like, woohoo. And we have like a GIF, like, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. That's the exciting point. And then what happens from there, right? What's the next step? When do they get contacted? What's the meeting that they're going to have? Who's involved? And so there's so much that we've undone here, and we're rebuilding completely. And I think a lot of, you know, a lot of clients, law firm clients, were clients of mine, is they're expecting a bad experience. They're looking for it. They're waiting for it. They're just like, when's it going to get a crap? And, you know, that's what I keep in the back of my mind, is they've been burned or they've had a problem in the past. Think about it that way, and then try to start to look for all the little cracks and crevices of where you can improve that experience for them and make them feel comfortable.
It's like, it's everything you're saying is so true. It's like, this is like when someone's buying from you, you know, they're making a big investment. They've been thinking about it for a while. They know they have a pain point. And so there's probably a pretty high expectation of deliverable after they sign up. And I think just little things can confirm that they made the right choice. So like in our firm, we send them a welcome box with a blanket, and it says, we've got you covered. And we promise that they will hear from their legal team within 24 hours. And then our intake team does a quality. The person who onboarded them, they kind of have a relationship. So that person then has to do a quality control call within a week to see how was their onboarding experience. And sometimes we find out that there was things that were missed, and it gives us an opportunity to not let that person fire us because something in our process broke. And I think audits are a really big thing that law firms often overlook. You create all these beautiful processes, but then like they're not followed. And so if you have a process, what is your audit? You know, and I think you've developed something similar.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you one example of what we did as about a year ago that was a bad decision. sometimes you're looking at, okay, how do we make things easier internally, and then not think about how that affects your clients and externally, right? So we had, for a while, like say if you signed on with me right now, like, hey, welcome, here's all the team, great. You're going to get a project manager who's going to start your website, and we're going to, you know, they're going to get updates every single week and all this good stuff. Beautiful process, lots of communication. Oh, and then you're going to get handed off in 2 or 3 months to another person that's like ongoing. And so just did not work out well at all.
Like too many people. That's what they, I was talking to Joe, now I'm talking to Bill. And I like, who's my contact?
And we thought it was a good thing. 'Cause like, oh, well, this person's all advocating for you to get the project done. And then that's all she does. So now you're going to get Megan, who's going to help you with everything else. And so that was a kind of a total failure. And now we've flipped that whole thing around. I'm introducing them, you know, in my case, I'm introducing them to, their account representative, which is actually called client advocate, director of, and they're meeting them before they even sign, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, this person's here for you. Yeah. Kevin's here, but I can't always be there, but this person's you're a rock star. They're going to take care of you.
We have a similar situation because we have their legal team. So they have, they think they're just working with a lawyer, and then they have a case manager and they have a legal assistant. And so we have to sell them and educate them on the idea of what is it like to consume legal services, because most people haven't consumed legal services. They just watch TV. They see, oh, I have a lawyer. They don't realize like there's a team. So we have to like help them. It's our job to educate them on that. And we will get people that still get frustrated and say like, well, why am I talking to, like, they only want to talk to one person. And so
they want that person that they can trust.
And so one thing we've also tried to do, or we're doing, is creating a roadmap for people. I think roadmaps are really helpful. So we send them something that says, these are all the stages of your case. Because for us, we know that. For you, you know the stages of your project management. And then we do phase emails. So we say, guess what? You're in phase one of your case, which is gathering records. And your job is to do this. And our job is to do this. And like, this phase will likely go on about this many months. And then we give them like a preview, like the next stage of your case is sending a demand or whatever you want to do. And even if they don't read those emails, if they call and they're upset or they're frustrated about what's going on, we'll go, did you get the email that explained all the phases? And they'll go, no, I don't read my emails ever. And then we'll go, oh, well, let me re-forward it to you. And then it's kind of like, we're trying to help you.
You're trying. I've had that happen in the past where, you know, sometimes things get held up or delayed and it might have been the client that did it, but they forget that was them. And then they put it back on you, but they don't mean to. And then I've reminded clients like, oh, yeah, that was us. And then, you know, you can't assume that they just know. No, I love that a lot. So me and my wife have a few investment properties. And before that, I hadn't gone through the mortgage process for a long time. I used this company called Cap Center. And like, we just got an email. It was like, here's where you're at. Here's what's coming up. And then it would be like, you owe us this and we owe you this. And it's like,
that keeps people like,
yeah, it's awesome.
And people like feeling like there's forward progress, and they like to know what's my responsibility, what's your responsibility. And like, there's a lot of products out there on the market now, even I like Case Status and just different ones that have come on, that they're creating better client experiences because they're able to put these breadcrumbs out in like tangible ways. Like I've seen now there's like apps where the clients download and, you know, they're getting little updates. And one thing that we kind of talked about, me and you offline, is this goes right back to intake, because if the client experience is not good, what does that do to referrals?
Yeah, which, you know, can massively impact your business, whether your growth is not happening, or maybe you had good referrals and something you did is messing up, you know, your client experience, and now you're not getting the referrals you were used to. It's a massive impact. I think one thing you said I wanted to back up to is auditing, right? So when you find a problem, and also a bit proactiveness, right? Like, our clients want us to be proactive versus going, what are we doing next? I wish they would call me. I hope they would call me. I made a bad decision. This is all in their head, right? Versus like, hey, we still don't have an answer yet. We're going to get to it as soon as we can, or whatever it may be. And then that lets them sleep at night or over the weekend. They're not thinking, oh crap, you know, did I hire the wrong person? We do a thing where, say there's a problem, like say we dropped the ball and we screwed something up for you. We do an after action report. We pull everyone that was involved. We figure out emails and date stamps and like what happened. We look at our process and then we report back to the client. This is what we did that screwed this up. We figured it out. We don't throw like a person necessarily under the bus if we can help it, but we say this was missed and that was a mistake on our part. we've changed our process. Here's what we changed. And so this won't happen to someone else. And we've never had a client get pissed off us after that. They're always like, hey, we appreciate that. Cool. Good. Let's move forward.
It hits on so many smart things because you take accountability. You're basically saying, thank you for helping us get our make our business better. And you're showing them how it's not going to happen in the future. So yeah. It reminds me so much of Ritz-Carlton. Do you ever stay at the Ritz?
I don't think I ever have, actually. I have not. But sign me up. Let's go. Where are we going?
This is the like premier training on what you just talked about. So it's taking a bad experience and making someone a raving fan. Mm. So one time I went to a hotel where they had to move my room. And I had already taken a shower, so I had my razor in the shower, and I obviously left it. And then when they moved me to the other room, I didn't have it anymore, right? Because I left it in the shower, and they must have thrown it out.
Tossed it.
And you know? So they, I called them. I'm like, oh, I left my razor in the other room. And they were like, well, go look quickly. Not there. They went out to the store and bought me a new razor.
Oh, wow.
And had it delivered to my room. And they sent me a free pizza. And like, you think about something that could have been a bad experience and how uncreative law firms and agencies are, that I tell that story all the time because it blew me away, truly. I was like, this is actually too much. Like, it was just a razor.
And you want to go back to a Ritz-Carlton for sure, right?
Yeah, because I know when I go there, anything bad goes wrong, they're going to take care of it.
So, although I've not been to one, I have heard, maybe in a book, of what they do. I think they have like people there on site that have a certain daily budget.
Budget.
They have a budget every day of like $1,000 if they want or something like that to do things like that. And they empower their team and their people to take care of people in situations. So so you actually had that experience. That's pretty cool.
So then you're not actually afraid of like terrible things happening because we can fix it, right? And it's going to be, it's life, because stuff does happen. Balls get dropped. We're not perfect. We strive to be excellent, but, I think it's the concept of how you handle perceived mistakes or balls dropped in your law firm or your agency or your business. Mm-hmm. It also is a huge factor on the client experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think also just being, you want everything to go perfectly. It's probably never going to happen. But I think even at the sales side of things, you know, you don't want to perceive like everything's going to be perfect over here all the time. Nothing's bad's never happened, right? Okay. And so even with like, if I'm talking to someone about SEO, it's like, okay, SEO is not, it's like we control it. You know, things can go up and down and up and down. And we want a gradual up and to the right consistently. But it's just like the market, like it's not just going to go up all the time. So you just have to have, there's education. You mentioned that too a little bit ago. Education, like we try to educate our potential clients a lot in the process. You really understand what you're even like trying to purchase from us. Like, do you understand the space? We've added coaches now and training and some of it's built into our programs where they actually get a SEO coach to talk to you every month because our clients, like they can help themselves outside of what we're doing, get more reviews. You know, you mentioned like another thing, like if you're open 24 hours, you show up on Google listings more often. And 24 hours. So just little things like that, that we're not being paid for, but we want to let them know, hey, you can be doing all these things to improve your position online outside of what you're paying us to do. You know,
we have something in common that both of our clients likely don't know a ton about the work we do. So that makes that education piece even more important because they're like, okay, do your thing, you And it's really a partnership.
That's a red flag to me. We don't want to be involved at all. Just do your thing. And then it's like, well, I used to love that. I used to sign up. I mean, I started my agency, my first one in 2006. So I was 23. Just sign up and pay for something. I'm happy, you know? Just a different world now. But we don't, like, when I hear someone say that and they're like pushing me to sign up, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, let's make sure this is the right fit and like the right plan and like your budget and do you understand what we're doing? Which is, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of agencies do that, and probably a lot of law firms don't do that. But I think it's super important. How involved do you want to be? How involved have you been in the past if you've had an agency before? Like, I need to know a lot of answers before we do work together. It also tells me a lot about them.
Well, from an agency perspective, like as a client who works with agencies, if the agency is not getting data from my firm, I can't imagine they can be effective. So if you're doing marketing, you're doing SEO, and then you're not talking with me and my team about what is the outcome of those, you know, projects, I think that's a red flag for a law firm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you want to try to get as far to ROI as possible. And again, hey, we sent you a bunch of calls. They weren't answered because we have call rail. Like, we could see they were not answered or they got missed, or chats. We have a bunch of chats that didn't come through. So the more your agency can see and you share to them, you know, about your client experience, the intake, the sales process, all that stuff is going to help everybody.
We're kind of like getting away from intake, but I love this topic. And I think it really does go hand in hand. I think one of the greatest missed opportunities for law firms is to create incredible relationships with your partner vendors.
You told me that before. And I thought that was interesting because I was like, hey, you go to a lot of shows and events and all that stuff. And you were like, I get to see my vendors and create.
I go to see my people. And you know why? In every law firm, I hate to say this, but you know it's true. You know it's true in your business. Everyone who owns a business, there are certain clients that get high, high, high VIP priority, right?
It happens. I mean, you got someone paying $100,000 a month versus $2,000 a month. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit more.
But also, it's the person that's really responsive. It's the person that's like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. I want to get better. It's the person that is really like trying to get the most out of your services. Who's like, if we have a client and they're like, hey, I have all my files here. It's organized. It's super, you know, like they're going to end up with a better experience because they have made it so easy for us to represent them. And it's a two-way relationship, right? And I think too many people, it's just like set it and forget it. And then people say, Jen, why do you have such great relationships with all your partner vendors? Because I work at those relationships. They are relationships. And this is like the keys to your business success.
Yeah, you have them out there doing things to effectively grow and run your business for you. Like, why would you want to be like hands off and eyes out, you know, not watching it? But no, to your point, I guess I shouldn't have even said what I said. Like, money is part of it, is not even a factor.
I think it is a factor to some
small point. Factor.
It is a factor. Like to be honest, in my firm, if we have a multi-million-dollar wrongful death, that takes a lot of effort and energy. We have one going right now. That case is going to take a lot of bandwidth from the firm, but you know, it also is a lot more work than like one of the smaller cases, right? If you're doing $100,000 a month in SEO, that's consuming a lot of bandwidth from your company, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. But to my team that's really there for the client, if the client's not organized, they don't show up, they don't have a good relationship, There's grumbling internally about this client. And we're like, yeah, but they pay us $20,000 a month or $30,000 a month. At the end of the day, and we fired a client in November, $16,000 a month fees to us. They're disrespectful. They were not nice people to work with.
Money is a component, right? If we have a great case, A case, but they're an F client, I think that's what you're really talking about.
Yes.
A case, A potential, F client. I mean, we can't. We have to let them go.
Just like employees, right? You not a cultural fit, not core value, breaking a core value, done. You're out, done. Not even a question. So why not treat our clients the same way?
You as the vendor or us as the law firm, we have control over these relationships. And I just think too many people are casual or arbitrary about making themselves really involved with people that help support their company.
Yeah. We have some small clients, like really small clients, that we've tried to add some new stuff now, all the way down, like really like a solo, like we've never done that before. So we're like, how can we help solos? Cause I get so many. And so now we have packages and coaching and website platforms that are very affordable. But I have some small clients that we love, like my team and I, we love to death, and we've been over backwards for them, and we give them breaks and we do extra stuff for them. Not, they don't pay us a lot, but just we light up when they call. We're like, oh, we can't wait to meet with them today, So it's going to affect what they get from us for sure.
I agree. So, yeah, I mean, all of this kind of ties together. We're talking a little bit about marketing and bringing in leads and then managing them and onboarding them. We also do something which we talked about offline, which is an audit from someone outside of the legal team around every 60 days, where we just call the client and say, hey, we just want to make sure you've been able to connect with your legal team, that you're happy, and it's fun because when I get that report monthly, I'll shout it out onto the teams that have gotten really positive,
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Tell us some accountability.
Yeah, like they know that there's going to be audits, but like sometimes it's really good. It's like, yeah, I've been talking to my case manager and I really like appreciate. And so we use that to praise the team. And then sometimes, we get ones that are like, I haven't heard from so-and-so and I called 2 days ago. And then we just privately let them know, hey, can you get in front of this?
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's, I have not heard, honestly, any other law firm having that in place. Maybe I just don't know, but
QCC, quality control.
Well, that's great. So we do a monthly, I think it's a monthly or quarterly, might be quarterly, client survey. And it's like, we reach out to them. We call, but we also send them a thing they can fill out. But it's, how many leads do they get? What's their revenue that month or that quarter or whatever? And then how are things going in their business? How are things going with us? And then what can we do better to improve?
And do people fill it out?
They do. Not all of them. That's why we have someone call and say, hey, we just sent you this. And, ask them if they can get it on the phone. And we'll try together. But we want to make sure that, hey, we're growing them and they're growing their revenue. Leads are growing. But they're also, what can we do better? And they do give us stuff all the time. Like, well, actually, I don't like your new system for website changes. Like, it's crap. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. And so we might not be able to change that for 100 clients across the board, but we take that to our next meeting and say, okay, hey, we got some complaints about our new ticket system. What can we do? So, but at least, we're checking, does it, and here's the thing, in the agency world, like one of our core values is transparency. And so when I told you, like, if we have a problem, we investigate it and then we tell the client how we fixed it. If a website's down for like 10 minutes, we tell them because we monitor all that. And when we first started doing this, I had my employees be like, they don't even know it was down. It's like 8 o'clock at night. So why don't we not say anything? And I'm like, that's what we've always done.
But also, if someone sends a message that it's down, it's better that they hear it from you, right?
We're like, we have to tell them, God forbid they saw it for 5 seconds, said it was down, right? We're responsible for that. And so it was hard at first. One guy's been with me for 10 plus years. And he was just like, okay, I'm going to send them in, mm-hmm. And so now that's just, it's just a thing. And no one's ever been pissed. They're always like, oh, cool. Thanks for letting me know.
Well, it shows that you're proactive. You're on top of it, right?
Transparency. You know, it's a hard thing to do, to really be transparent. And internally as well, you know. Hey, Jennifer, like, you could have done that meeting much better. I got a couple of tips for you. Like, that's hard to do across teams and internally. But we try to do that. And I think, what was that one book? Five Dysfunctions of a
Team.
High Performing Team or something like that.
Yes. It's a great one.
But that's the gist of it, you know, being able to have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's just all of this stuff ties together, and it really, what you're really talking about is your intake, your marketing, your onboarding is heavily affected by your law firm culture, right? And your values. And so maybe some of the advice we should have given is that it goes all back to that, really, you know, proactivity, efficiency, being candid, being transparent. That is like, if you don't have those things, it's all the other things are hard, right?
I appreciate you trying to pull this all together because I'm going off on tangents, but
they all go together, Kim.
Your people, every single one there, your culture, your core values, your mission, your intake, your sales, all that crap, all of it is what your client, you know, the client experience, the journey, right?
And true.
It is your marketing. It is who you are. And so I think people just like want to come up with marketing campaigns and like whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, what you're doing thereafter when they experience it, like, that's really, and they go talk about you and refer you, or they talk bad about you and post bad reviews or whatever. So it all is your marketing and all about that. So it's back to the original thing. Like you're like, yeah, you can't hire to market more or advertise more when all these things are broken, you know, doesn't make any sense. You're actually calling yourself more damage by marketing more.
This is why we got along, right? When I first met you, because we just kind of had this similar view on clients and how you run your company. And I think that also does play a factor into, you know, your relationships with different vendors and partners and finding people that value similar things. Because I'm sure there's people that don't value the things you're talking about, and then it makes it harder to work with them, right?
I mean, I've been a lot of business owners in my day, and most are just trying to make money. Like that's the focus. And
okay, but let's talk about that for 1 minute because I know we're getting close to our time. But like, when people say, "I just want to make money, I don't care about the client experience," like that to me is an oxymoron.
They don't know what they don't know. I think. Yeah, I think they're eager, and I think they're trying to figure out the shortcuts and. You know, we're part of like a mastermind for agencies one time. And it's like, outsource everything. Don't do anything. You make a ton of money. And then just, you know, what about the results and the, don't worry about all that stuff. You know, it's like.
You know where that comes from. That people think law firms are asleep at the wheel. Right?
Yeah.
Well. The thing is if you treat your law firm like that or your agency, that's your personal reputation on the line. And once you wreck your reputation, you know, I just think that's a very short play. It's just not what's going to take you to the 1%.
Yeah, this is none of this is a get rich fast kind of scheme, right? So I think, you know, all the things we're talking about today, they're also daunting. There's a lot of stuff you got to work on. Like, holy crap, I got to do this right and that right and this right and that right. Holy, you know, that's a lot of stuff to do. You know, the book Traction Over My Head right here.
Yes.
I recommend that all the time because it kind of at least lays out some basics for you to follow. It doesn't get into the weeds of client experience and intake and all that stuff, but that's a good starting point. But you know, I think, you know, lawyers too, they're just trying to make, they're like, I'm quitting my job and I have to like start getting some money. And then how am I going to focus on all these other things? And it just takes years to figure out, oh, okay, I need to work on these things. So, or not, or they're stuck to their desk and running around and they don't have any of those things.
Yeah, it is true that there are a ton of lawyers that don't really perceive themselves as business people, and they don't think that it's a high priority.
But or ethical in some cases.
The moment you open a law firm, you are now an entrepreneur. And so you have to rise to the occasion.
Yeah, and one of the things I hate when I hear, it's not that often, but I have had early on this podcast, my podcast, I had guests that were, yeah, solos, and we were just reaching out to anybody. And I would hear, well, I just love to help my clients to do good work. And that's kind of like what they stand for. And that's great. Most lawyers do. Then why aren't you taking care of them? Why aren't you putting a process in place to follow up with them? Why aren't you doing all the things to take care of them? And they're just like, well, but I'm doing the good work for it. Okay, yeah, but you're not. They're frustrated. They don't know what's going on. You're just a good lawyer, so they're going to stick with you, right? So I think that's just funny. It's like, I love what I do, and I'm here to help people, but it's going to be a terrible experience for them along the way.
So. Yeah, it's a common thing for like accountants, dentists, professionals, that they think the value is solely the outcome. And we know that clients are having lots of different customer service experience all day long in all different arenas. So the expectation is a lot higher. And even if you get great dental work, you get great veneers, if the whole process was a nightmare, what is going to stand out in your mind? You know?
Exactly.
I try to keep that in mind. We talk a lot about client experience in my firm because of my horrible experiences when I was going through my own legal battles before I was a lawyer. But in addition to that, I remember like years ago, I went to a business coaching thing and they said, if all those other things don't convince you that you should take your business seriously as a law firm, let's just talk about bar grievances and disbarment. You're laughing. Why are you laughing? Where do you think I'm going to go with that?
Well, no.
We haven't talked about this at all.
I'm just following you along. So,
well, what do you think is the main reason people get disbarred? Do you think it's legal work or do you think it's business management?
Business management.
How do you know that?
R. John Robbins maybe has said it a few times.
Yes, exactly. But when you think through it, you know it's true.
100%. Yeah, it's not malpractice. It's what do you call it? I forgot.
Well, it is malpractice. So, for example, someone forgets to file a lawsuit. That's a systems issue, right? It's not a it's not like, oh, they're just a bad lawyer. They're basically saying like, I didn't have the reminders in my case management system. If somebody mismanages money, that's a business issue, which is like, I think like 50% of people that are disbarred, it has to do with mismanaging money.
What R. John said on my podcast a while back, this January, I think we launched that episode, was, do you want to hire a law firm that's profitable and managed well and is going to be there tomorrow and finish your case and take it to the finish line and help you out? Or do you want one that's
fly by night?
Yeah, running on fumes, run around like crazy, no processes in place. Like, if they told you that in the beginning, you wouldn't have hired them.
And that's why R. John is a genius, and he was one of my first coaches. You have literally interviewed like every influential person in the legal industry. So it's so fun when we talk because I'll be like, you know this, and you know exactly who said it.
I've been blessed, honestly. And I'm always like, who else going to have on the show? I don't know. I'll just get Jennifer back on.
I'm going to send you a few people. But
please do.
This has been so fun. And we could just hit 10 more topics right now. Everything is intertwined, right? That's really our takeaway, I think, from today.
Yes, it all is. And again, it's for people make going, man, that's a lot of things that I need to figure out. And it is, and it doesn't happen overnight. Jennifer's just crushes it and does so well, but she's constantly working on it, and she's got audits and every, you know, always going, hey, how can we improve it? I have now two dedicated people that just focus on client advocacy and intake and journey, and that's a full-time job. You know, how can we improve this? You know, the Ritz-Carlton, can we send them something?
Yes. And, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed by hearing this, you know, I can definitely like appreciate that, because I look at law firms that are 10 times bigger than mine, and I think, like, how am I going to get there? But every single thing we've built in the law firm, it's cumulative, and it gets a little bit better in time, you know, and you just tackle your biggest pain points. For me, that's how I kind of like keep going. It's like, what is our biggest pain point right now? And I just try to go for that, because it's going to have the biggest leverage point.
Yeah.
You know, there's 1,000 things you can do to improve your company, but you've got to tackle the ones that are creating the most friction. And if that's your intake, if that's your marketing, if that's your, you know, your onboarding experience, you can't do it all at the same time.
No, again, I recommend the book Traction. You know, you got your rocks, your quarterly rocks, right? So we have a leadership team meeting, and then we figure out,
correct,
what's the one thing that we can do this quarter? You know, we narrow it down. And, well, yeah, but there's all these other things. Well, yeah, we know that. But we have to figure out what's the one thing that we can accomplish this quarter so that we're moving forward.
Management. Yeah. And it's like those little quarters stack up.
It's just funny to talk, you know, with my team. Like, remember 2 years ago or 3 years ago? You know, just so much. It seems like a whole different company, you know?
So true.
So a lot of things to do, but, you know, you gotta focus on them. It's just like investing. You know, it's not like you just throw a couple grand in an account and you're done. You know, you gotta work at it. It takes time. So you better start sooner than later.
Best time to start is what, if not yesterday, is today.
Right now. Just go to the Managing Partners podcast library of 300 episodes. And you got everything you need.
Exactly.
Well, I guess I'll wrap us up. If anyone doesn't have any questions, I see. Let's see. Thanks, Joe. Said he loved the conversation. Appreciate that. Anything else you want to add before we go?
Just thank you for inviting me on. Always a great time chatting with you. You're a wealth of knowledge, and just fun times.
I appreciate you joining me. So I agree about you as well. You know what you're doing. You're doing it right. And hopefully I'll see you here at a few events coming up. So
yes, I will.
Awesome. Well, so this concludes the first week of Antrim Legal's Law Firm Summer Reboot Camp. Thank you all for that came out to attend all the live presentations. I was on one actually earlier in the week as well. So we really appreciate you taking time for your busy schedule to do so. We will be back again August 12th. So keep an eye out on your emails for more details. And if you'd like to learn more about the host of this camp, please visit antrimlegal.com. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.